from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, Dono, it's update time. We'll just let it rip here. It's brought to you by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Super Center. Why buy a truck at a car store? Palmetto Ford, we know trucks. We have a hockey game tonight. Game 7, Panthers and Oilers. Amaranth Bank Arena is the location. And you can catch it right here on WQAM. Doug Plagans, Billy Lindsay, Kevin Rogers on the call there. The Marlins beat the Mariners, by the way, 6-4
yesterday.
Oh,
they won?
They did.
They lose the previous one 9-0?
They'll take their 27-50 record on the road to play the Royals tonight, for those that are interested, at 8-10. Guessing that's not going to be a ratings.
How bad would the How bad would the Panthers game have to be to say, let me flip over to Marlins?
I don't even know if I get the Marlins games at this moment.
Yeah, that's right.
I might be on a blackout.
Well,
situation
I was reading like something like I saw on the Herald front page that the Marlins, which is cool that they're doing this. They put out like a free stream, or they're like paying for fans to stream it.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't know that because I have made no effort.
I didn't actually
watch,
click on the story. I just read the headline because I was looking for Panthers.
Did you see the headline the other day? I talked, because Omar works for the Herald. Did you see? And I did not read the article, so I'm guilty as well. Did you see that the Herald came out with a story that they should get rid of UM football? I think it was UM Athletics.
UM Athletics. They want
to get rid of the athletic program.
And the idiot who wrote it.
Who is that guy? Do you know who he is?
He is like somebody who's not like a sports guy.
He's not a sports guy. I never heard of him.
But the thing is that made like this should never have gotten through the editor, because the person who wrote this lives in Tallahassee, and apparently he's a Florida State alum. Like how you let somebody in Tallahassee write a column in the Miami Herald about how the University of Miami should drop their and the actual story, like his evidence for doing that was apparently the University of Chicago did that in the 1940s.
The University of Chicago, little like downtown. Okay,
they dropped their athletics in the 1940s because I guess it got too expensive for them to run their athletic program. And so, like, the Herald, and listen, there are great people at the Herald. So, but they deserve, obviously, this was not one of those great people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I love Omar, you know.
Barry's great. I just don't know how, like, so my question, Omar was like, Omar, like, I get it, man. People should be able to write what they want, right?
I don't believe you should.
And I think it's good. There should be differing opinions and all that stuff.
He can write that. Like, if this guy wants to start a blog, he can write that. But the Miami Herald should not publish that.
How does that get through the editing desk for the Miami paper? Like, I think all these different, like, political and I don't read any of the political stuff because I don't really care.
Same.
one way or the other, like, at this moment, I just don't care. I don't want to hear about it anymore. I'm very anxious for November to be over with.
Yes.
And we can, you know, perhaps move on with our lives.
Which we probably won't, because no matter what happens.
Yeah, I think people get way too wrapped up in all that crap.
Exactly,
but anywho, I think that there should obviously be differing opinions. That's kind of what, you know, what we do here and what makes the world go round. But like for your hometown paper to come out with a hit piece on
crazy.
The hometown athletic department just seemed kind of weird. I know they kind of threw it out there on a Friday.
Yeah.
And, you know, like slow almost news day, in the news dump, they like kind of like tossed it out there. And I saw that and I was like, what on earth? Like, get rid of athletics. They've just made a massive commitment to athletics on campus. They're doing an incredible job. Like, if you're not really, you know, close to it, maybe you don't see it. I don't know, but they are doing an incredible job at the University of Miami. And I just thought that was kind of disappointing to see that from the hometown paper. Like, if you're going to talk about something, like football season's, what, like 75 days away or something like that by now? Like, you know, come on, man. There's got to be better stuff you could throw in your home. Like, the thing that came to my mind is, like, could you imagine the Tuscaloosa Gazette coming out with, like, Alabama should get rid of sports? Like,
yeah, well, can you imagine, like the Tallahassee Democrat is the name of, like,
is
the
that
biggest paper there.
Okay.
Tallahassee Democrat, like, hey, you know what? Guess what? Hey, because Florida State, their legal bills are piling up because they're suing the ACC.
Oh, the Supreme Court's got
to
hear their
like,
case
they're,
now.
They're selling bonds to try to raise money to update their facilities. So maybe I should write a guest column in the same way they let some dude from Tallahassee write a column in the Miami Herald. I should write a column in the Tallahassee Democrat saying, you know what? Big revenue gap for Florida State being in the crappy ACC. They're selling bonds to raise money. They should just drop athletics.
You know what, man? I agree with you. I think you should reach out to that paper and see if we can get you as a little guest writer on there. Maybe the title should read, "Stop Being a Bunch of Bitches with Your Lawsuit." I mean, my God, man.
It's like, not Kirk Herbstreit's fault.
We're
going
to take this to the Supreme Court.
Oh, man.
Like, the Supreme Court, oh, maybe they don't have anything better to do, but, you know, but, like, come on, man. There's got to be more important stuff going on in the world. Like, the Supreme Court's going to hear FSU bitching to get out of the ACC. Like,
yeah, no, I think it's it was on the Miami Herald's part. I will go on record saying it was shameful to let that get through.
It was very disappointing.
It was shameful, and especially when to actually read. Now, I already am a subscriber, and I'm kind of embarrassed to be at this very moment. But, you know, that actual to read that hit piece, that's actually behind a paywall. So I'm wondering, like, you're charging subscribers money to read crap like this.
I just saw. So the first comment underneath that I saw was from Uncle Luke. And he was like, "I'm not reading this garbage." Like, and I was the same way. In fairness, I did click it. And I read the first couple of sentences. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to screw up my Friday reading this nonsense. Meanwhile, Dono, football season is around the corner, and there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic around Mario Cristobal's program here this year, and, you know, the addition of what we believe to be a quarterback that has. I would think has more hype around him than any of the other guys we've seen since, I don't know, Ken Dorsey. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, you know,
Tate
quarterbacks
Martell.
That have come. Oh, yeah, Tate Martell. I'm just trying to, like, I'm being honest. Yeah. And, like, the only other one that really kind of jumps into my mind is year two TVD. And like, the hype that was around that guy. And obviously it didn't work out. He didn't live up to that, unfortunately, after he came, you know, had that really good first year, and everyone's like, oh, first round pick and Heisman and all this other stuff, and it, you know, didn't materialize, unfortunately. I mean, you have, you know, Malik Rozier in there who had some great games and they had that great season, but nothing hype wise has made you this optimistic quite like Cam Ward, right?
Yeah, but he's going to be an NFL quarterback a year from now, which is something, you know, Miami hasn't had a lot of those. If you think about, you know, we've had some good quarterbacks over the years, but not a lot of NFL caliber guys in recent
years. Who made
it
into the NFL? Like, Stephen Morris, I guess, was a backup
for a minute,
right? I mean,
Brad Kaya got drafted, didn't really stick.
I don't think he stuck, right?
No, he didn't.
Stephen Morris was on, what was he, on the Colts or something for like a minute there?
I can't even remember.
Something.
I remember Kaya got drafted by, I think it might have been Colts for Morris. Kaya got drafted in the sixth round by the Lions. It never worked out.
That never
out.
Happened, yeah.
Yeah, and so listen, and it's not just like Ward. I watched him during spring football. Obviously, it's spring, but like he looks to me like a complete quarterback.
Yes.
And also, the leadership is clearly there. This guy approaches everything like a professional. Like that's something where, you know, within, and I talked to a lot of Miami players about this, there were so little things like this really impressed his teammates. He knew everybody's name within 24 hours. Mm. And you're talking about like 90 plus guys, like walk-ons. Like he knew everybody's name within 24 hours of arriving, has had guys over for dinners, has been buying dinners and everything, has been working out a ton. And then adding this Damian Martinez at running back, is this offense, there's no reason why this offense shouldn't be really good this coming season, because you're always going to have an excellent O-line when Mario Cristobal and Alex Mirabal are involved. I don't worry about the offensive line. Damian Martinez rushed for almost 1,200 yards at Oregon State last year. This guy's a true number one back. You know, Sam Brown, the receiver they picked up from Houston. Miami's actually got, if you go by, you know, returning statistics, the best receiving core in the ACC with Restrepo, Jacoby George coming back. They were both over 800 yards. Restrepo was over 1,000 yards last year. Brown was over 800 yards at Houston. So, you know, there's no reason why that offense shouldn't be clicking this season. There's no excuses not to.
Someone threw De'Arik King in there. I know people were excited about De'Arik King. I don't think that, you know, ended up being what
he was really good that first year. Second year he got hurt. But
and we're
really
talking
again.
We're talking about like a really legitimate draft caliber quarterback, and that's kind of, you know, we've been banging the drum on that for a while, that that's kind of what Miami needs to take the next step here. I mean, you see what, like, yeah, you know, I hate to go back to Florida State, but you saw Jameis Winston, right? He comes in and that was a program changing player, right? And you go back to the Gators and Tim Tebow, as good as he was, and Tim went in the second round in the draft?
He got
picked pretty high up there. He actually
based on the hype, yeah.
He's won more playoff games than the Dolphins have still.
That's right.
Sadly, as sad as that is to throw in there. But you get a player like that, like a Tebow or like a Winston, and those guys can change the entire trajectory of your program, right? Like, look what Jameis Winston did. I mean, they were in the national. They won one, and they were in the hunt, you know, his entire time there. Tim Tebow, clearly, you know, I don't know where you rank him, Dono, but he was, for me, probably one of the best, if not the best, college player I've ever seen.
Absolutely. Just the type of game that just didn't translate to the NFL.
No.
Especially because he wasn't willing to change positions, but he the quintessential college player, because
he could
do everything.
He really could, and he had that leadership that you just talked about with Cam Ward. Yeah. Tim Tebow really had that, and you could tell his teammates really, you know, rallied around. Remember, he gave that speech. They have that stupid statue out there or whatever. Meanwhile, we're talking about the Gators. Miami and the Gators are going to open this thing up here.
Yeah.
At the Swamp.
Oh, you talk about anxiety. I'm going to have so much anxiety heading into that game.
Oh, man, that should be some game. You know, Florida, by the way, their win total, I think they were picked to win like 4.5 games or something.
Have you seen
their schedule? Toughest schedule in the country, right? Yeah they have the toughest schedule in the entire country. And it doesn't start easy for them. Miami's going to be pretty tough.
Like the Florida fans, and I think both fan bases maybe are a little bit too cocky heading into that game, because I think they just kind of assume the other team sucks. Like Florida's going to assume, oh, well, because, and I go on sometimes Florida message boards because I have no life, just to see what they're saying. It's like, well, Mario Cristobal is their coach. They're never going to win anything. We're going to beat them. They're not going to know when to take a knee, all that. And then Miami fans are like, well, their roster sucks. How are they supposed to win? I think it's probably going to be a close game because the Swamp is a really tough place to play. But both fan bases are so overconfident that it kind of gets me nervous heading into that game.
Well, we got that coming up for you. Dono is here. I'm Hollywood. Vlad is driving the program here today. Dono's got the Locked on Canes podcast, by the way. You want to plug your channels real quick?
Sure.
We let Vlad plug his weekend show last segment. So why don't you plug your programming? Take us off to break. Dave Hyde is going to join us at 7:40. Dave has racked up the miles, man. 2,500 miles back and forth to Edmonton. He's been back and forth now three times.
That's
right.
Wow.
Is it three times or two times?
Two times.
Well, the reason I'm thinking three is because the first time he tried to go, he was unsuccessful.
Was it weather?
Yeah, remember all the writers and everything were trying to fly out, it was the rain day. So he was unsuccessful the first time. So, Dave will join us at 7:40. Dono, take us away here and let us know where we can find all the Canes stuff.
Yeah, so I host the Locked on Canes podcast, which is daily. Sometimes we even go 6 days a week. We put out a Sunday episode yesterday because Miami landed a commit. We're going to be having on Larry Bluestein today. We'll have an early afternoon episode. Our boy Blue is going to join me. Just search Locked on Canes wherever you get your podcast. We're also on YouTube every day, Locked on Canes on YouTube. So that is where you find us. And we will talk more about this Florida Panthers upcoming do or die game when we come back here on the Joe Rose Show.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I was one of those kids for sure that played by himself whenever outdoors or at home or literally anything. I'm thinking about, like, this is game 7. Stanley Cup playoffs, maybe even like overtime, think about those moments. So yeah, I've had many of those memories, and now it's becoming a truth, and tomorrow for sure, exciting, the most exciting time to be a hockey player.
I don't know if I'd use the word exciting. I'm a little nervous as we head into game 7 here. Hollywood, Dono, and Vlad in for Joe here on this beautiful Monday morning. Skies are looking clear out there.
It is looking nice out there.
Now, usually that doesn't hold. Why don't we get your weather update brought to you by the Demesman and Dover Law from youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7 at 866-954-MORE. And the rain, it says possible after 12 p.m. today, Donna.
Okay, so when they say it's possible, it means it's happening.
It means it's more than likely happening. Hopefully it'll clear up for those of you who are willing to spend in the, what do we call that, the four figures for this this hockey game tonight.
Four figures.
If you're like me, you got a beautiful spot carved out on your couch tonight.
Yeah.
I don't know what the game day eats are going to be. Hopefully something that's easy on the stomach in case this thing doesn't go well.
Right.
It would be, I don't even want to think about it right now, but if the Panthers don't win this game tonight, and I don't know how you could theoretically be optimistic going into this game.
I could be, yeah.
I mean, no, you could honestly. be blindly doing it. I mean, the Oilers, you know, Texas sent this, like, the Oilers have beat their brains in the last few games here.
Panthers have been playing rope-a-dope. The Oilers have scoring 18 goals over these past three games.
Yeah.
They've tired
after
themselves
not scoring
out
at all through the first two, right?
But it's difficult. I mean, there's a reason why coming back from down 3-0 rarely happens. It's difficult to get it done. They've got to get it done on the road tonight. I like what Barkov had to say, and he's the captain, so hopefully he sets the tone for the entire dressing room. Paul Maurice seems to have a good attitude. you've got to block the last three games out. That all that matters is tonight. It's a one-game series. It's winner-take-all. We know the Panthers are capable of beating this team. They've done it three times. Feels like a long time ago, but they have done it three times. I am a believer that we could very well have a celebration tonight, which would continue tomorrow into this show.
I would love that, Don. I would love nothing more than to not have to do this doom and gloom thing tomorrow morning. This is a franchise-defining Game 7 tonight, though. This is, I mean, so big for this franchise. The extremes of the spectrum of the emotions and the outcome of this game tonight, it's like, look, you're either celebrating your first Stanley Cup and you finally got to the top, right? You finally did it after all these years, and you know, you've put together this team that you know was good enough, or You have to go back to the drawing board, right? Because this would be, you know, the kind of loss that you don't just, you know, all right, we'll get them next year and you know, head off into the sunset and enjoy the off season. And you'd have to make changes, right? I think that would be the, because look, it's one of those things like the Falcons went through it, right? Remember with the Atlanta Falcons and they had to make all those changes because it sticks with you.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. So, stuff like this doesn't go away. So, Let's hope, man. Let's hope. 305 says there's a good old saying amongst the betting community that gives me hope. They're due.
They're due.
They
Thank
are due.
You.
They are due.
And the Panthers are, I think, I know they have a winning record in game sevens in franchise history. I think it's like 3-1 or 3-2, something like that in game sevens. And Florida Panthers have Vladimir Tarasenko on the team. He's appeared in five game sevens, and his teams are 4-1 in game sevens. So I've got faith.
Let's see here.
Well, how about this? Paul Maurice owns a 4-0 record in four career game sevens.
Yeah, I mean, you keep throwing numbers at me, and while I do appreciate your numbers, I just don't know how meaningful they are here this evening. And I do appreciate, though, because you're trying to give me hope.
I'm trying
into this one, and
I
do thank you for that. Happy birthday to Reza, by the way, who texted
Reza,
in.
Reza, I love her.
It's his birthday. Herbert, was it her?
I think it's a her. If that's the person I'm thinking of.
All right. Well, happy birthday, Reza. It is. Would be a nice birthday gift to get a win. Matthew Tkachuk. What is this guy from Edmonton? Matthew Tkachuk is a cheap shot coward who deserves not to get the cup in these insufferable South Florida.
Let me look up that area.
Sounds like a Red Sox.
You
man.
Suck. 609.
Oh, it's Boston. 609.
Is that a Boston scumbag?
Hold on. New Jersey, Central and Southern New Jersey.
Oh, New Jersey, the ultimate scumbags.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, so now we got a take on what New Jersey thinks here this evening. That's very, very nice.
I bet you if they're awake yet, because it's very early, or Edmonton, they're probably listening. Cause
they're
like,
drunk right now.
It's 2 hours earlier there, I know
Is
that.
Is it two? Okay,
yeah,
so it's 5:30. They're probably, I mean, what do people do in Edmonton? They're driving maple syrup trucks. They probably wake up very early. They're probably listening.
They're playing hockey. Serious beef with Canada. I like this, by the way. I do like this. Apparently, McDonald's still does use Canadian bacon on the McMuffin.
That's why I've been boycotting the McMuffin since 1997. Canadian bacon.
I don't like Canadian bacon. I don't like ham. Look,
a really good friend of mine. We know each other through. We used to do a soccer podcast together. He's from Toronto. He lives in Toronto. And even he doesn't like Canadian bacon. Like he even said that the main bacon that they eat up there is actually the American version of bacon. So Canadian bacon, from what I think, it's somewhat of a joke even in Canada.
Reza says, yes, I'm a her. So there you go. And also says hello to you, Dono.
Hello, Reza.
I bet $500 on Edmonton. If they win, I win money. If Florida wins, we are champs. There you go. He hedged. He used his emotions. He hedged against his emotions.
I mean, I don't know what this person's disposable income is, but like, I don't know. I feel like if the Panthers did win, but I bet $500 on the other team, that would kind of take away from my celebration.
I know,
like,
somebody's upset.
Yeah.
Leroy.
Did Leroy bet big on this?
Leroy had the Panthers winning the cup.
Really?
And four games, five games, and six games.
Yeah.
He didn't take them in seven.
All right.
And now he's lost.
So Leroy's lost either way.
Think about it. You're up 3-0, so you're thinking, I got this bet that I got the Panthers in either game four, game five, or game six. Either way, I got it all covered.
So that's more evidence. Like the emotional hedge, it's a tale as old as time, but I don't I don't look. That would take away from my celebration. If I had bet the Panthers to win the series in 4, 5, and 6, but they win it in 7, it's like I'm happy, but it's like I didn't win money on it. Or if I bet money on the other team and the Panthers, I couldn't be that happy if I lost $500.
I'm staying away from this game. The Hard Rock app is staying closed tonight. I think there's enough emotions on the line
soccer
here.
Games to bet
for this one. All right, we're gonna talk to Dave Hyde when we come back. Dave has been back and forth and back and forth to Edmonton, so I believe he's in South Florida. Like I told you, he didn't even answer that part of my question. I asked him if he'd come on, if he was home, and
he might have just arrived. He
might have been, man. I know those guys are struggling with this. I saw Dave Dwork was like in like 8 different cities trying to make it back home.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it was like
the mom at Home Alone where she's trying to get back to Chicago.
He's like in Denver, then he's in Atlanta, then he's in Orlando.
Oh,
like
my god,
man! All right, so we'll talk to Dave Hyde when we come back here on QAM.
Yeah, I mean, you just like I said for. Both of us at one point in the series lost 3 games. It doesn't matter how it's gone. It doesn't matter how you draw it up. Like, they lost the first three games. We lost the next 3. Like, it's even right now. It doesn't matter what has happened to get to this point. So it's easy to forget. You forget everything that's happened throughout this whole season, really. The whole season comes down to one game. Like, at home, how could you not be so jacked up for this? This is absolutely incredible opportunity. So yes, you want to recognize or remember some of the good things that helped you beat these guys earlier in the series, but I don't know, I'm trying to forget all of it and just go in there with win this one game. That's what it comes down to.
Game 7 tonight. Matthew Tkachuk is jacked up. I bet Dave Hyde is excited for this one, too. We're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. As we welcome in Dave Hyde. And Dave, I guess my first question to you is, where are you right now? Have you made it back?
I'm on a dog sled between Edmonton and Calgary right now. I did make it back. I did make it back, and I have now filled my quota, my lifetime quota of trips to Edmonton. I will not be going back there, no matter what, in my life. So, that was the worst itinerary in sports is that one, this one.
Well, we're sending you back for Game 8, Dave. They're gonna have Game 8 up there. We're going to send you back. You were up there for Game 6, and obviously did not go very well for the Panthers, and you saw the sort of shell-shocked look on their face, Dave, at the end of that one as the camera panned across the bench. And I ask you, Dave, from being up there and covering this thing and being in the locker room, how do they bounce back, and how do they mentally get right heading into this do-or-die Game 7 here tonight?
How is a, Tkachuk just said it, but can they get there?
Yeah.
And I got to admit, anybody predicting what's going to happen, especially in this market, remember last year the Heat are up 3-0 on Boston. Mm-hmm. They lose the next 3 games, including the tip into Gerald White at the buzzer in Game 6. And now they have to go to Boston for Game 7. And I wrote them. Everybody wrote them all. Oh, this series is over, and the Heat win by 19. So, I mean, in a one-game season, who knows what to expect? I've never covered a game with such extremes, though, where if the Panthers win, it's the greatest night in franchise history. Everything's forgotten of the previous 3 games. If they lose, it's the biggest collapse. In 80 years, only the Red Sox coming back against the Yankees in 2004 matches it in sports. So the extremes of this night are off the charts.
Yeah, and Dave, we've talked so much already on this show about psychological angles of this game tonight, but tactically, we've seen throughout the postseason, Paul Maurice has pushed so many buttons, and most of the right buttons with what he's done, changing his power play units and line changes. Is there any button he might press differently tonight, or is it really just going out there and executing? What do you think Maurice's approach tactically is going to be?
Yeah, I mean, there are some things that are beyond my hockey knowledge. Edmonton has made a couple tweaks in the series where they're breaking out with deep passes and getting 2-on-1 breaks and rushes that we haven't seen against the Panthers in the postseason. But for the most part, if they could have pushed a button to solve why they're 1-for-19 in the series on power plays and why Edmonton has two shorthanded goals, basically outscoring the Panthers on their own power play, they would have done it. Now, they took Montour off the power play and put Ekman Larson in after Montour's bad pass led to a shorthanded goal in game five. But I think we're down to what the players can do. And the one thing we don't know is who's healthy enough to do a lot. We haven't seen much of Verhaeghe or Reinhardt or Tkachuk had that very good game five, but that was about it for him in about 10 games. So Barkov had a great game in game six. He was a dominant player, and yet he's going to need some help to come with him. So I think Maurice is, you know, not strategic buttons, emotional buttons at this point. How can he get this team loose to start with? Because they've played real tight at the start of games in the last few games.
I mean, I guess we have to credit Edmonton, right, Dave? Because, you know, those throughout the playoffs and into those first three games, I know obviously the Oilers had some moments and Bobrovsky was standing on his head in game one, but the Panthers had really just physically set the tone this entire postseason, and this finesse Oilers team has figured it out. How can the Panthers rediscover what they had going up until game four?
There's the question right there. Can they, you know, they've played it in spurts. The end of game five, game six by, you know, after they fell down 3-0, they played well. But the question is, can they put a whole game together? And that's what they haven't been able to do the last few games. Really, the series is they haven't played a full game, maybe game two, but other than that, how they really want to. So can they get back to that? Can it appear again? But, yeah, all credit to Edmonton. Look, Connor McDavid's everything he's advertised to be. And you know, he had the goal or the pass of the series where he splits the Panthers defenseman. It came with him. He was on the ice for 2 minutes. More than 2 minutes when he did that. Shifts usually at 45 seconds, guys are trying to get off the ice. And he's played 3 or 4 games this series where he's played 25 minutes, and no Panther forward is really going over, you know, just a little over 20 minutes. So when you add that up, he's played a full game more than anybody else, any comparable player, any forward this series, and yet he's still going. So, again, all credit to Edmund for coming back from 3-0.
Dave Hyde with us here on QAM. You can find his recap of Game 7 in the Sun Sentinel. Dave, man, this is so crazy heading into this game and the shifts in momentum in this series. I know us as fans and people looking on, basically thought this thing was a wrap, right? I mean, go either in Game 4 or especially in Game 5. I don't think anyone gave Edmonton much of a shot. Did the Panthers buy into that as a team? Did you get that vibe from them being around that team that maybe they thought that this thing was over? Is that something that was problematic through this series?
You know, I don't think anybody – well, no one came out and said it's over, but sure, they're human, up 3-0. And then they had that awful game four in Edmonton, which is, you know, I thought they'd lose game four just for a lot of reasons. Winning four straight doesn't happen a lot, especially in championship series. So, but if, you know, then, you know, they brought in all the family and office workers to Edmonton for game four with the idea they could close it out. And that seemed to emotionally get into some of the, you know, talking to the off to the side. It seemed to get into their heads a little that maybe they shouldn't have done that. And they didn't do it for game six. It was a purely business trip. So, you know, did they think they were going to win? Sure. I'm sure up 3-0, you know, it's historical if Edmund comes back in this series. So I thought they'd win game five at home. I still thought they had a, you know, they had a good chance in game six. And you know, part of it's you see the team win so often and come back from so much when they make it this far, it's hard to foresee a collapse. So I still think they have a good chance to win tonight.
Yeah, I was about to ask you just that. If you have any prediction, Dave, what do you think happens this evening?
Tell me who scores the first goal. If the Panthers score the first goal, they can ride some momentum and the building will go crazy and all that stuff. If Edmonton scores the first goal for the fourth straight game, that building will go silent and the Panthers will start to get it. You know, both sides will feel it. And so I think it's really – tell me who scores the first goal and I think that team wins.
Dave, appreciate the time as always. Dave Hyde, resident of South Florida, but now I have heard, Dave, you have purchased property in Edmonton to go back and forth. I know you're into fishing. They do ice fishing over there, correct?
Year-round, probably.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do. The Youngstown of Canada, as I call it.
Youngstown of Canada.
Dave, thank you very much. Enjoy the game, and we'll talk to you soon, all right?
All right, guys, thanks.
All right, Dave Hyde, find his work in the Sun Sentinel. Game seven tonight. Boy, they are showing, you see this little preview ESPN's doing, and they're showing all the like crazy finishes and all this other stuff. The one thing I do hope, Dono, is I hope this game does not go into overtime tonight. I don't know that my heart can handle a game seven, you know, golden goal overtime situation here. So we'll just hope we get things settled in regulation. But Dave is right. You said this earlier that first goal is going to be very critical in this game tonight. The 8 o'clock hour coming up next on QAM. Here on QAM.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you just, like I said, for both of us at one point in the series, lost three games. It doesn't matter how it's gone. It doesn't matter how you draw it up. Like, you know, they lost the first three games. We lost the next three. Like, it's even right now. It doesn't matter what has happened to get to this point. So it's easy to forget. You know, you forget everything that's happened throughout this whole season, really. The whole season comes down to one game. Like, at home, how could you not be so jacked up for this? This is absolutely incredible. Incredible opportunity. So, you know, yes, you want to, you know, recognize or remember some of the good things that helped you, you know, beat these guys earlier in the series. But I don't know. I'm trying to forget all of it and just go in there with win this one game. That's what it comes down to.
Game seven tonight. Matthew Tkachuk is jacked up. I bet Dave Hyde is excited for this one, too. We're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. As we welcome in Dave Hyde. And Dave, I guess my first question to you is, where are you right now? Have you made it back?
I'm on a dog sled between Edmonton and Calgary right now. I did make it back. I did make it back, and I have now filled my quota, my lifetime quota of trips to Edmonton. I will not be going back there, no matter what, in my life. So, that was the worst itinerary in sports is that one, this one.
Well, we're sending you back for game eight, Dave. They're going to have game eight up there. We're going to send you back. You were up there for game six and, you know, obviously did not go very well for the Panthers. And you saw the sort of shell-shocked look on their face, Dave, at the end of that one as the camera panned across the bench. And I ask you, Dave, from being up there and covering this thing and being in the locker room, how do they bounce back and how do they mentally get right heading into this do-or-die game seven here tonight?
How is, you know, Tkachuk just said it, but can they get there?
Yeah.
And I got to admit, anybody predicting what's going to happen, especially in this market. Remember last year, the Heat are up 3-0 on Boston. Mm-hmm. They lose the next three games, including the tip into Gerald White at the buzzer in game six. And now they have to go to Boston for game seven. And I wrote them. Everybody wrote them all. Oh, this series is over, and the Heat win by 19. So, I mean, in a one-game season, who knows what to expect? I've never covered a game with such extremes, though, where if the Panthers win, it's the greatest night in franchise history. Everything's forgotten of the previous three games. If they lose, it's the biggest collapse. in 80 years, and you know, only the Red Sox coming back against the Yankees in 2004 matches it in sports. So the extremes of this night are off the charts.
Yeah, you know, and Dave, we've talked so much already on this show about psychological angles of this game tonight, but tactically, you know, we've seen throughout the postseason, Paul Maurice has pushed so many buttons, and most of the right buttons with what he's done, changing his power play units and line changes. Is there any button he might press differently tonight, or is it really just going out there and executing? What do you think Maurice's approach tactically is going to be?
Yeah, I mean, there are some things that are beyond my hockey knowledge. Edmonton has made a couple tweaks in the series where they're breaking out with deep passes and getting 2-on-1 breaks and rushes that we haven't seen against the Panthers in the postseason. But for the most part, if they could have pushed a button to solve why they're 1-for-19 in the series on power plays and why Edmonton has two shorthanded goals, basically outscoring the Panthers on their own power play, they would have done it. Now, they took Montour off the power play and put Ekman Larson in after Montour's bad pass led to a shorthanded goal in game 5. But I think we're down to what the players can do. And the one thing we don't know is who's healthy enough to do a lot. We haven't seen much of Verhaeghe or Reinhardt or Tkachuk had that very good game 5, but that was about it for him in about 10 games. So Barkov had a great game in game 6. He was a dominant player, and yet he's going to need some help to come with him. So I think Maurice is, you know, not strategic buttons, emotional buttons at this point. How can he get this team loose to start with? Because they've played real tight at the start of games in the last few games.
I mean, I guess we have to credit Edmonton, right, Dave? Because, you know, those throughout the playoffs and into those first 3 games, I know obviously the Oilers had some moments and Bobrovsky was standing on his head in game 1, but the Panthers had really just physically set the tone this entire postseason, and this finesse Oilers team has figured it out. How can the Panthers rediscover what they had going up until game 4?
There's the question right there. Can they, you know, they've played it in spurts. The end of game 5, so game 6 by, you know, after they fell down 3-0, they played well. But the question is, can they put a whole game together? And that's what they haven't been able to do the last few games. Really, the series is they haven't played a full game, maybe game 2, but other than that, how they really want to. So can they get back to that? Can it appear again? But, yeah, all credit to Edmonton. Look, Connor McDavid's everything he's advertised to be. And you know, he had the goal or the pass of the series where he splits the Panthers defenseman. It came with him. He was on the ice for 2 minutes. More than 2 minutes when he did that. Shifts usually at 45 seconds, guys are trying to get off the ice. And he's played 3 or 4 games this series where he's played 25 minutes, and no Panther forward is really going over, you know, just a little over 20 minutes. So when you add that up, he's played a full game more than anybody else, any comparable player, any forward this series, and yet he's still going. So, again, all credit to Edmund for coming back from 3-0.
Dave Hyde with us here on QAM. You can find his recap of Game 7 in the Sun Sentinel. Dave, man, this is so crazy heading into this game and the shifts in momentum in this series. I know us as fans and people looking on, basically thought this thing was a wrap, right? I mean, go either in game 4 or especially in game 5, I don't think anyone gave Edmonton much of a shot. Did the Panthers buy into that as a team? Did you get that vibe from them being around that team that maybe they thought that this thing was over? Is that something that was problematic through this series?
You know, I don't think anybody, well, no one came out and said it's over, but sure, they're human, up 3-0, And then they had that awful game four in Edmonton, which is, I thought they'd lose game four just for a lot of reasons. Winning four straight doesn't happen a lot, especially in championship series. So, but if, they brought in all the family and office workers to Edmonton for game four with the idea they could close it out. And that seemed to emotionally get into some of the, talking to the off to the side, it seemed to get into their heads a little that maybe they shouldn't have done that. And they didn't do it for game six. It was a purely business trip. So, did they think they were going to win? Sure. I'm sure up 3-0, again, it's historical if Edmund comes back in this series. So, I thought they'd win game five at home. I still thought they had they had a good chance in game six. And part of it's you see the team win so often and come back from so much when they make it this far, it's hard to foresee a collapse. So I still think they have a good chance to win tonight.
I was about to ask you just that. If you have any prediction, Dave, what do you think happens this evening?
Tell me who scores the first goal. If the Panthers score the first goal, they can ride some momentum and the building will go crazy and all that stuff. If Edmonton scores the first goal for the fourth straight game, that building will go silent and the Panthers will start to get it. Both sides will feel it. And so I think it's really – tell me who scores the first goal and I think that team wins.
Dave, appreciate the time as always. Dave Hyde, resident of South Florida, but now I have heard, Dave, you have purchased property in Edmonton to go back and forth. I know you're into fishing. They do ice fishing over there, correct?
Year round, probably.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do. The Youngstown of Canada, as I call it. Yeah,
Youngstown of Canada. Dave, thank you very much. Enjoy the game, and we'll talk to you soon, all right?
All right, guys, thanks.
All right, Dave Hyde, find his work in the Sun Sentinel. Game seven tonight. Boy, they are you see this little preview ESPN's doing, and they're showing all the, crazy finishes and all this other stuff. The one thing I do hope, Dono, is I hope this game does not go into overtime tonight. I don't know that my heart can handle a game seven, golden goal overtime situation here. So we'll just hope we get things settled in regulation. But Dave is right. You said this earlier, that first goal is going to be very critical in this game tonight. The 8 o'clock hour coming up next on QAM.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.